welcome back to the show. Take Lock, a show about fantasy football. And Take Lock, a name that got a little bit of crap this week from some people in our Discord. And I just want to say something. If you don't know what Take Lock means, it actually kind of makes sense because Take Lock is popular. It's a popular phrase among the Dynasty community. It's basically when, well, I'll describe it this way. Have you ever seen Nathan be wrong about something? You've probably seen Take Lock, because Take Lock is when you're wrong about something, you're wrong about a dynasty opinion you hold, and you or a fantasy football opinion.
Like you with Justin Herbert every year.
I'm not getting into this with you. I'm not wrong about Justin Herbert.
You have been for the last 3 years.
No, I haven't. So Take Lock.
I'm kidding.
Take Lock is when Take Lock is when you have a take and it ends up being wrong, and you make all necessary efforts to convince people that you aren't actually wrong.
But why do we even have to explain this?
Because I don't know. Because
one dude in the comments.
I know. I just told
got him, all up in arms about.
Well,
it.
I didn't say what Take Lock meant, so people don't know. I wanted to tell them, but we are.
I've known what Take Lock meant since I was like.
Well, not everybody is you.
A child.
Squirt. Not everybody's you. Ryan is the one that came up with the name, actually. So shout out to Ryan for that one.
Yeah, I'm a genius. That was what I was alluding to last week when I said somebody who made this name must have been really smart.
Well, evidently you're not, because there are some people that, again, I just wanted to, but either way, glad you're here. We're going to talk preseason reactions today. We had preseason week one this past week, and so we're going to talk about that. There's lots of storylines to go down here, and also, we're going to talk Dynasty buys and sells, essentially. This is kind of a pick or choose using the ADP tool. We're going to talk about, you know, some guys that are close in ADP, which one you would say. So we got a good redraft and football topic today in the preseason week one takeaways. And then we've got a good Dynasty topic as well, if you're into that. So we're really glad you are here. Let's start with the news. We can alternate headlines here. I'll start. Malik Nabers has a minor ankle injury. It's reported to be a minor ankle sprain, but as they say, sometimes a sprain is worse than a break. And so he's not the only guy that has a high ankle sprain. Josh Downs also has a high ankle sprain. So you've seen some ankles. Shane Steichen say, he's got an ankle. And Malik Nabers has an ankle right now, and it's unknown when he'll be back. This just happened, I think, today, right? Was it today or yesterday when they were practicing?
No, it was 2 or 3 days ago.
He played in the preseason game.
So there's been a couple days, but it was definitely not in, like, today's news cycle.
It was I'm pretty sure I saw it for the first time yesterday.
I'm 100. That means it's not today. I hope you know that today.
Well, you said a couple days ago. Newsflash. Yesterday is one day ago.
I was including today, and a couple means two.
You're an idiot. That's not how that works.
Gosh.
And they played Thursday. Right. So they played a couple days ago. The first day I saw it in the news was yesterday. So either way.
Well, there you go.
Because they would have had either way. With Malik Nabers, hopefully he wasn't a guy you were drafting a ton of for fantasy purposes anyways, because we've kind of been saying, hey, like, this is a rookie on a really bad offense. Maybe you shouldn't draft him.
Yeah.
And, you know, with an ankle sprain, you never really know how bad it is, but I'll let you take the next one here, Nathan.
Yeah. So, Hollywood Brown suffered basically a collarbone injury. I'm not even going to
No. You say it.
No, I need you to say it.
A sternoclavicular joint dislocation. He may miss a few games. I know, seriously.
Dislocation.
So this is like the exact same injury as Tyreek Hill in 2019. So he'll be out for at least 4 weeks. I would assume they're going to take their time with this one as well. So I'm not too worried about it, honestly. If I saw the play live when he got tackled, it was like the first play of the game. Mahomes, of course, the first play of the game, did a ridiculous throw. It just was classic Mahomes. He was screwing around, and it was incredible. And it was to Hollywood, and, you know, he got his target. He got his catch. He still caught the ball, and he just landed weird. Like, the Jags corner came from behind him and just kind of squished him into the ground.
Yeah.
And he just looked – he kind of winced, and he got up. He ran off the field. He was fine, but – it kind of is what it is. I don't expect that to really be something that carries over through the rest of the year.
I bet Xavier Worthy shows out at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I bet he's gonna break out and he's gonna skyrocket.
Hey, that would be awesome.
And also it just opens. Rishi Rice is probably gonna be the number one guy there away again. So yes. There's also that. But it'll be interesting to see if Hollywood can string together a whole healthy season.
Sternoclavicular
joint dislocation.
Yeah. I got it right.
But you said sternoclavicular at first.
And then I caught myself. I was like, that's wrong.
Yeah, but
because it's clavicle, but sternoclavicular makes sense.
any higher educated person.
Okay,
would
Dr. See. Avery. Let's talk about Juju getting released.
Well, it's Ryan's turn, Nathan.
Okay, Ryan, your turn.
Juju got released. That's the news. Somebody may have spoiled my little segment here. Juju got released by the Pats. He's going to get signed somewhere, but it's not going to be fantasy relevant. I thought there was a chance last year. I really, really did. But I'm going to have to die on my sword on that one, I guess.
You and wide receivers that have no chance of coming back to life. I mean, whether it's Rashad Bateman, whether it's Justin Ross. Like, I mean, you hitch your wagon to dead horses, if I might say.
Because it's not fun. It's not fun to be like, oh, I think Amon-Ra is going to have a big season this year. Yeah, no
but
duh.
But, dude, there are middle-of-the-road wide receivers. Like, for example, Josh Downs is a big one for us. Like, Josh Downs is somebody who lives and breathes, can catch a football, and is actually going to see the field this year. And we can make the prediction. Like, yeah, we think he's going to be, you know, more fantasy relevant than people think. And it's completely different than I mean, like, Juju has been dead since, I mean, my,
or even like
before
Jay
my
Reed
son was born. Like, I mean,
yeah.
You just, Avery, you have so many opportunities here to really nail some takes, and you just, I feel like you squander those opportunities.
I am a gambling man, and if there's one thing I know about gambling, it's you take the long shot because it works sometimes, maybe.
Your long shots don't even make any sense.
That's what I'm
They're just
I'm
wrong.
Saying.
Like, if you're going to take a long shot, take a long shot on Puka Nacua while Cooper Kupp's out with injury for the first six weeks of the season.
Yeah, your long shots should be called wrong shots. Ah,
that is factual right there.
But...
yeah, okay, buddy. We'll see how it goes.
All right, sport. All right, my turn. Chargers have major plans. This is funny.
Did you hear the comment right after that, too, Greg Roman?
No.
He was like, I feel like he just gets a really bad rap for, you know, dropping every single ball in training camp. We have major plans for him to be on the field.
Oh, my gosh. and they also said there's no reason to overreact to untimely drops in practice.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
That was funny.
With QJ and with Jim Harbaugh and with Greg Roman, you're not going to get the Kendra Miller, Dennis Allen treatment, where it's basically like you suck, right? So even if QJ does suck, they're definitely not going to come out here and say it. They're also definitely going to overhype their wide receiver room because
they have the worst wide receiver room in the league.
And they consciously decided to not take a wide receiver in the first round of the draft and to take
because they wanted to build around their offensive line and get Joe Alt.
Which is
respectable.
But they also have to cover their butts. Because they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and their receiver room is terrible. And it's not like they did anything.
You know how they cover their butts? Protecting Herbert so he doesn't get hurt again by drafting Joe Alt, which I think was a good move and will be a good move long term.
Cover your butts. Cover the what? Lego movie. What are you saying, Ryan?
I mean, you had a little comment in there of like they didn't draft a receiver in the first round, but like
they basically did.
Ladd McConkey was like two picks away. Yeah. He was essentially
I was talking about with their top five pick.
Well, yeah, but I mean I had the same opinion back when Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell were up for conversation. I'd rather take the stud tackle than I would the skill position
for
a rebuild team. But I digress.
No, I don't think. I don't think
my takes are bad.
No,
that's a good take.
I quit whining, and I didn't. I agree with your take. I think they should have taken Joe Alt. I didn't trust them to take Joe Alt, but they did. I'm saying,
surprised you didn't trust them to take Joe Alt, even though it's Jim Harbaugh.
I didn't. I just. I mean, what did you expect?
They were like telling you that they were going to draft Joe Alt,
and I still didn't believe it. But I'm just saying that they went off. They have the worst wide receiver room in the league, and they're definitely going to try to make it seem like it's better than it is. That's what I'm saying. And they will. And that's a good take. You're up next, Nathan.
Yeah, Rondale Moore suffered a season-ending knee injury. Does that really mean anything for him? Were we expecting much from him? No. This says a lot, though, for I think Darnell Mooney.
He's a smash right now.
Darnell Mooney's a pretty good value right now in fantasy. By pretty good value, I mean he's basically free. So I think if anything, this again just opens more volume up for volume and opportunity for Darnell Mooney to potentially be productive this year in a Kirk Cousins offense. So I'm excited to see what happens with him this year. But for Rondale, it's a bummer. I mean, he's a Purdue guy, so it's not like you and I, Avery and I, were super attached to him to begin with.
No,
but he did. I mean, I remember in his rookie year, he maintained his value going into his second season because he showed impressive flashes his rookie season, had some really nice catches on the outside. And even, I mean, over the last couple of years, he still has shown that ability to, you know, have some explosive playmaking stuff. every yeah. once in a while. But it is a bummer. It is a bummer for his career and his outlook, because I think he's going into the fourth year of his career where he was hoping to have a good season to maybe get a long-term, you know, low-end contract, and it's probably not going to happen. No. So unfortunate for him, but good for Darnell Mooney from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah, the next one on the list is Josh Downs. You guys obviously covered that already with his high ankle sprain. We'll kind of see how to manage that, because, you know, sprains are sometimes worse than breaks. But the last thing I wanted to touch on in terms of the news is Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Avery had a visceral reaction to hearing about his injury last week. It is just a bursa sack injury, which...
What intarnation is a bursa sack? Let
me just look it up for you.
I was going to explain this, okay, believe it or not. There's a fluid in your joints, basically elbows, knees, that it's like a pouch, and it can pop, and that fluid can, it looks like you have a growth on your elbow or your knee. Huh. It's not harmful. It's just kind of in there as a lubricant, but it will eventually just kind of get absorbed back into your body's system. I had it happen to my elbow once when I was in high school, and it was pretty funky.
Really?
But like a day later, it was fine.
Huh.
So he'll be fine. They're probably just taking it cautious because, again, right, preseason knee, I get it. But I mean, they called it week to week. It's probably day to day. Like, he's honestly probably already
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you were in the middle of the season with this type of injury, I mean, that sounds like it's something they just shoot him up with and he'd be fine and play.
I'm glad you guys are doctors. Like, that's what I'm going to say, because I personally don't like knee injuries, but you guys are like, oh, it's fine. It's a bursa sack. He's probably just going to shoot him up. You think that's how that works?
So
you think receiver is how all NFL injuries goes? You watch receiver and you saw they tick him in the room. They're like,
with Devontae Adams. Yeah. Yes.
So they'll, right, sometimes they'll actually pop them and drain them. Like,
oh, almost
would,
like a cyst.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Love that visual.
Oh,
yeah.
I have a better visual.
But yeah, they can drain them.
I won't share that. But I do. I'll tell you someday, Ryan. Anyways. So that's the news this week. And there's obviously more, but we're going to get into that because our first topic here is preseason week one takeaways. And so linked here, guys, is a PFF article, you know, kind of with the snap counts for the starters. This chart says includes data for when the players who started the game continue to play in the game for the preseason. Teams will sometimes substitute some first unit players out for others. The determination of where to cut the first unit off for the purpose of the chart may change on a game-by-game basis. So they're basically just estimating who the starters would have been here. So I kind of want to look through this article and do some, because this stuff is stuff we use during the season. We like using the snap counts, things like that. So let's kind of go team by team here. And if you guys want to have this open too, you can chime in. But I'll start with the Commanders. The main thing that stands out to me here is that you had Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler pretty much split carries here. They counted 11 starter snaps. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels obviously being the quarterback there. You had Dotson and McLaurin taking all these snaps. And then of those 11 snaps, you had Brian Robinson taking 6 and Austin Ekeler taking 5. And I think this kind of furthers the notion that Austin Ekeler could be a pretty sneaky value in the running back 30s range this year, running back 40s even. Somebody who really didn't look like he could do much last year, but honestly, he could get the opportunity. And if he's put in the right system, I think he could be productive again this year. So that's the main takeaway. And there's not a ton of other surprises here. Zach Ertz did get, I guess that is kind of surprising. John Bates, Zach Ertz got the starting tight end reps. So not Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott came in later in the game and he was the leading receiver in the game.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all. As a rookie, they usually do that with rookies. Yeah. So
I think from the Commanders' perspective, there is something else to highlight. At the receiver position, Jahan Dotson played the majority of his snaps in the slot, which he typically has not done in his career. John made a comment on the outline saying this is bad for Luke McCaffrey truthers, and I wholeheartedly agree, because if Jahan Dotson is moving into the slot, that's just going to take away touches from Luke McCaffrey and the other guys, because he and Terry are going to, like, they're not necessarily going to overlap in usage.
So that begs the question, why the frick did the Communists draft Luke McCaffrey in the third round?
I mean, it could truly just be that they are trying out Jahan Dotson in the preseason in this role to just kind of get him acclimated to something and have him be more versatile once the actual season rolls around.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, I don't think anybody was projecting Luke McCaffrey to be a darling this year in terms of output. So it's not too shocking.
It's just funny that they draft a third, really fourth option in the third round at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, well, Atlanta picked a quarterback in the first round that they can't use for three years.
I guess
so.
This is also assuming that every organization is run by people who are smart, which we know is not true. So
yeah, and the other side of this game was the New York Jets. And again, we talked about this in one of the videos, but the main takeaway from this was obviously the Braylon Allen snap usage and how he's already the handcuff pretty much to Breece Hall.
Yeah, and Corley only playing in three receiver sets as the slot, makes a lot of sense. John thinks it's a little bit troublesome for his target share. I'm not going to lie. I think this is exactly what I expected, and I'm not concerned about this at all. In fact, if anything, this makes me optimistic about what his outlook could be as a rookie in New York's offense. Like,
I agree.
If Rodgers is going to struggle, which is very possible, especially to like getting implemented into a new offense with a bunch of new players and stuff, like he's not afraid to just take the check down. He's not afraid to just dump it off to Breece Hall / Aaron Jones / Malachi Corley and just let him get a bunch of yak. So I'm pretty happy about that personally.
Yeah. Let's go to the Bears-Bills game. And Ryan, I'll let you start with the Bears and what stood out to you there.
I mean, Caleb Williams played pretty good from all accounts. There's another article that's linked from Clutch Points grading all of the rookie quarterbacks. And Caleb got a pretty good grade as a rookie, got an A. He wasn't in there for long. He didn't, like, play the full game or anything. But they did have their first team offense out there around the rookie. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze. Romo Dunze took a little bit of hit in terms of snap share, 17 for Moore and Allen, and Odunze only got 11. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much we really want to read into this because, again, it's preseason, but it's going to be an interesting conversation to watch with these three receivers throughout the course of the season. I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride for who's going to get the lion's share of the work.
Yeah. I this honestly doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if Odunze was the third. I mean, like, he probably is. I think what's most surprising to me is the running backs here. Herbert had 14 snaps, Homer had 4, and Swift had 2. And they were playing their stars.
They took Swift out after the very first series because he had some big run. He had like a 40-yard run or something with Caleb Williams, and then they took him out.
Why did they continue to play Khalil Herbert over him?
Well, they didn't play him over him. They took Swift out because he was the first guy in.
Maybe that was it, but like the wide receivers kept playing. I mean, those wide receivers played for most of what Caleb Williams played. And so like they had Khalil Herbert in there with Caleb Williams a lot. I don't know. Like I'm still betting that Swift is probably going to be the running back one there. It's just interesting. It is interesting that he got outsnapped by Herbert by 12 while Caleb was good. So
I don't know how much I'd read into that. Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson are kind of competing for that RB2 spot, so they may have kind of pulled the plug on Swift early, just, you know, got his legs running and got him active.
Yeah.
Pulled him out. He's the RB1, and then let the other two guys kind of cycle out for the rest of the game. Travis Homer's in there for 4 snaps. I assume that was third down work in pass block because he's probably better at that than both Herbert and Roschon.
Yeah.
The most funnest thing for me in week one of the preseason was watching the Vikings and Raiders game on Saturday.
Woo.
I had a blast watching Brock Bowers run up and down the field before the ball was even snapped. It was awesome. Like, honestly, it was awesome. Seeing him line up in the backfield, on the outside, in the slot, on the line with Michael Mayer. Mayer playing that traditional tight end, right? I mean, he's just all over the place. Bowers getting multiple targets and making a lot out of him. He looked really, really solid. He looked like Brock Bowers in college. Yep. And Mayer even getting the first target of the game. He got one of those, you know, classic tight end targets over the middle of the field for about 10 yards, a first down. And then Jacoby Myers cleaning up and getting everything. Like, no Devontae Adams, obviously. So I think you would still expect, just like we initially expected, it's probably going to be Adams and then Myers / Bowers, and then it's going to be Mayer. And
probably mostly the top three guys, and that's it.
Right,
it's going to be so concentrated there, I think.
But, I mean, if anything, I think when you've had years and years of just the Raiders not being an enjoyable offense to watch, at least it's since they last made the playoffs, which was like 3-4 years ago, I'm excited to see what Bowers can do on that offense now, because when I was what's the word that I'm thinking of here?
I don't know.
I was, oh my gosh, dude.
Surprised, stupid? Shocked, appalled.
I don't know.
Dumb?
Move on. Go away.
Empty-headed?
No. I questioned what they were going to do with Brock Bowers. Skeptical? Actually, like skeptical. There you go. I mean, that's the word. It was skeptical. I was skeptical, like how they were going to utilize Brock Bowers on the Raiders. Was it really going to be like they utilize him in college? Was that going to be translatable to the NFL? And they went out there in the first preseason game and they were like, screw it. Let's play around. Let's mess around and let's see what we can do with him, just like he did in college. So,
yeah. Ryan, you've got the Vikings breakdown because you're the guy for that.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't too much to this, in my opinion. I don't think the preseason game one really means a lot for long-term outlook here, but no surprise to anybody, Sam Darnold got the first couple series, and then J.J. McCarthy came in. He looked pretty good. He threw an interception on, I think it was his first or second drive.
First drive, yeah.
Yeah, and then looked pretty good from there on out, but again, first preseason game. I think the most interesting thing in the interim is the technical tight end 2 battle behind TJ Hockenson, who's injured for at least the first part of the season. It looked like Johnny Munt passed Josh Oliver. It's such a depth thing, but targets are targets. And with Addison possibly being suspended at some point early in the season, that's somewhere to look, along with Jalen Naylor, who I think has almost assuredly locked down the wide receiver 3 position. But yeah. Again,
yeah, I think you're
first
right.
Preseason game.
Yeah, Naylor looks
solid. That being
solid.
Said, J.J. McCarthy is the Messiah. He is Lisan Al-Ghaib. He is the chosen one. He is Azor Ahai. He is Luke Skywalker.
Good. I hope so for your sake, man.
At least the expectations are low. I mean, that's...
Yeah, right. Right. He was fun, though. Yeah. He was very fun. Darnold, I thought, looked pretty solid, too, honestly. Like, the first throw of the game, he threw a dot. And it was like he just dropped it into the zone to Naylor, and it looked really, really nice. I thought he bailed out of, like, one or two clean pockets in the red zone.
Did you say Naylor?
Yeah, it's a Naylor. Jalen Naylor.
I hardly know her.
Okay, well, Naylor is...
All right, that'll wrap up the show, guys.
Third option there.
Let's go to the Chiefs-Jags. So... Let's talk about Xavier Worthy, because Xavier Worthy is getting a lot of hype right now because he is getting run with the starters. Hollywood is now hurt, and now they basically also showed that they're okay with playing both Hollywood and Xavier Worthy at the same time, despite them both being deep threats and despite a lot of people basically saying that they have very similar skill sets. And so I'm buying the Worthy hype. Like, I think my main thing for Xavier Worthy was behind Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and Hollywood Brown, I thought it was going to be really tough for him to establish a role in that offense earlier
in
the season.
A consistent role outside of
and
just
if Hollywood's not there at week 1, 2, 3, I think he could do that now.
Oh, yeah.
Am I overreacting, Ryan?
No, I don't think so. And I think the next few weeks with Hollywood Brown being out are actually going to be such an advantage to Xavier Worthy, because he's going to effectively pass Marquise Brown on the depth chart. And if he proves that he is, you know, worthy of the first round draft capital and everything, he might never look back.
Oh, I thought that was an intentional joke.
What was it?
What?
If he's worthy of going in the first round.
Oh, I'm sick. Pun intended. Totally.
Okay. Jags, man. Some bad jokes all around right now. Christian Kirk didn't. This is a big storyline, actually. Should it be a storyline? He didn't play in the 12 personnel situations. Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis appeared to be the every down receivers there.
Wow.
I want Ryan's thoughts on this one. Ryan, how about you think? What do you think?
I don't care at all. If I'm going to be completely honest. Yeah, I mean, like, let's be real, guys. Here, what is Gabe Davis done across his entire career with the Buffalo Bills?
Dominate.
Let's be real here. He's been nothing but a deep threat, right?
Stephon Diggs.
He caught that. He had that 4
touchdown game.
Someone
once upon a time
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right, but you want to know what Christian Kirk did? His entire time with Trevor Lawrence as be his safety blanket and his go-to receiver. I don't think that's going to change, and I don't think they're going to take who, in my opinion. Without knowing what Brian Thomas is, Christian Kirk is the most proven commodity at the wide receiver position in this offense. You're not going to take your most proven commodity and at least your second best wide receiver off the field because of a schematic difference, you know, between how he and Gabe Davis play. Yeah. If that was the case, we'd see so many guys who are just, you know, the prototypical slot guy who stay only in the slot. Like, Amon-Ra wouldn't be on the field in 2 wide receiver sets because he lines up majority in the slot.
I mean, this is like, you've heard this storyline like three different places in the NFL. You heard it with Houston and Tank Dell. You've heard it with Jacksonville and Gabe Davis. You heard it with the Jets and Malachi Corley. And I think people are just like, yeah, there are players who can be pushed out of two wide receiver sets that are plenty fantasy productive. That's not, I mean, because how many two wide receiver sets are we running right now in the NFL? I mean, honestly, like how many two wide receiver sets, like how many teams are rolling with that consistently?
The Raiders
and any other ancient offense.
The Raiders, again, they're going to be one of the most target concentrated.
Arthur Smith might be the only other guy that would do that.
Right, exactly. Right. And so what? It's bad news for who's behind George Pickens and, I mean, who's their freaking wide receiver too? It's technically
Roman Wilson.
It's Roman Wilson, right? Like, I don't think anybody notable is doing that. I think all these offenses are modern enough. And
the only other time you're doing that are goal line and short yardage opportunities.
And you're not expecting slot receivers to get production at in those situations. No. So it's really not a big deal. But at the same time, it was one of the bigger storylines in the week. But let's go ahead and go to our game show here. So, Ryan, I'll let you kind of take this away before we go to our dynasty portion of the podcast.
Yeah, quick, easy game show today. Just some basic trivia questions. Stuff that I would hope that you guys, I would like really, really hope that you guys know. But we'll see, I suppose. We'll jump right into the first one here. What player won an NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP in the same season? Your options are A, Patrick Mahomes, B, Thomas Edward Brady, C, the grocery bagger Kurt Warner, and D, D's. Joe Montana.
D's. I've got my answer.
I'm second guessing myself here.
Ooh.
Give me 15 seconds. I gotta think
about this. I'll give you 3 seconds.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
I'm going. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
I'm going Mahomes.
I'm going Kurt Warner.
That's a good guess.
Locking in those final answers,
yeah.
Fellas?
Yes, sir. Locked in.
It is indeed Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. That was my
original. It was an Eagles game, but Pacheco played so well that game that you'd almost think that Pacheco had gotten it or someone else because Mahomes wasn't incredible. Jalen Hurts almost won it even though they lost. And Kurt Warner, did Kurt Warner win MVP the year before or the year after they won the Super Bowl?
Did he win an MVP?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He won. Didn't he win two?
Yeah, 1999, 2001.
And 2000 was the year he won. Dude, oh, my gosh.
That's what I...
Greatest show on turf, man.
But that was... My first guess was Mahomes, because I feel like I remember that being a storyline.
That was a good guess. Kurt Warner was the one that... Because you were close. Everyone would think Kurt Warner. But,
All right, next one.
That throws you off.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which team has the most Hall of Fame inductees? This is all time across the franchise. Your options are A, Chicago Bears, boo. B, the Green Bay Packers, boo. C, the Pittsburgh Steelers, boo. Shout out, John.
Yeah.
D's. Dallas Cowboys.
I've got my guess.
Yeah, I got mine too.
This is one where I'd second guess myself as well.
Yeah. All right.
You first.
I'll go A.
Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
And the correct answer is A.
Nice.
Jeez.
That's actually, it's because they're one of the oldest franchises. That's why. That's probably why.
Yep. Absolutely why. I mean, the 85 Bears, that team has like almost everybody in the Hall of Fame at this point.
That's crazy.
Which Not Bears actually, that's hyperbole, little literary device.
I was going to say, that's those guys.
Yeah, we got the Super Bowl shuffle record. In our
in the studio.
Merch in the studio, yeah. So pretty great.
Good for you guys.
We're cool. All right,
next one. Here we go.
All right, next one. And we're at 1-1. So technically speaking, this is for all the marbles. What team has lost the most Super Bowls?
Hang on a second.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, frick. I'm honestly surprised the Bills weren't on here. It's like a...
I know. I would have thought the Bills because they lost four straight. But those are the only Super Bowls they made.
The only Super Bowls they made. So I guess I... Okay.
That leaves only two.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
I think I got it.
All right, you're up first this time.
I'm going to go with Denver because the Elway years, they made multiple Super Bowls, and they kept losing because the NFC won like 13 straight Super Bowls between the 80s and 90s.
Denver is my guess, too.
And it looks like it's going to come down to a tiebreaker because you guys are both correct.
Hey,
it is indeed the Denver Broncos.
Now, I thought about New England because New England lost one with Bledsoe against Favre in the 90s, and then they lost three more with Brady.
Yeah. Yep.
So just because of the volume alone.
I was going to say, my first guess was New England, and then I was like, yeah.
So I can only think of three that Denver lost. I know they lost two with Elway, one with Manning. Or did they lose a third with Elway?
I think they lost a third with Elway, and I think they lost one before Elway was there.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure they did. Super Bowl record. Here we go. They've lost. They've won eight championships, only won three. So they've lost five.
Okay.
1977.
So that would have been pre-Elway.
Yep. And then 86, 87, 89.
Holy
97,
crap.
98.
Dude, they legit were like, they're almost the Bills.
They are almost the Bills.
That's crazy.
Worse than the Bills, actually. But at least they've won,
At least they've won multiple.
Won three Super Bowls, right?
Right,
yeah.
Man.
Jeez.
The closest loss was a 19-point loss. So when they lose, they get blown away.
Yeah.
Wild.
Wow. Okay, next question. I know the answer to the next question, so I've got mine.
All right. Who is the only coach to win an NCAA championship and a Super Bowl? By NCAA championships, we do mean Division I,
yep.
FBS. No FCS, North Dakota State stuff going
on here.
This one's
going to be a tie.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, indeed.
USC and Seattle.
Yep.
The Reggie Bush days.
Yeah, they should vacate that title.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
That was they gave him
because everything Heisman. They did then is now legal. But.
They gave it back to him, and they should have. That was the right choice. But all right, what are we doing?
Dynasty ADP.
Are we just tying?
Well, we can't tie. That's not in the spirit of competition.
No, it's soccer.
I guess we're not doing soccer, are we?
No, this is football.
I'm thinking of a number 1 through 10.
No,
that's stupid.
Absolutely not. There's no knowledge that has to go with that.
Just look up NFL trivia and get us until one of us gets on.
Yeah, Avery and I will knock out Dynasty ADP.
Yeah, that will be
stuff
quick,
while Ryan's looking up the final question.
So this is Dynasty ADP tool pick or choose. So all these players are going within 5 picks of each other on the domain ADP tool. Shout out for August. Who would you rather have from a Dynasty fantasy football standpoint? And so let's talk about this.
Huh.
The first one, Ja'Marr Chase, ADP 11 versus Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11.2.
Give me Amon-Ra.
And this is all opinion, right? This is just preference. We have them ranked in the same tier. We just did our cornerstone rankings. Yep. They are the same tier. I prefer Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like the safety that you get from him.
Yep.
Now, the upside is greater with Ja'Marr Chase, I think everybody acknowledges that. But
as much as Dynasty value fluctuates year after year, I am much more confident in Amon-Ra maintaining his value than Ja'Marr. I mean, Ja'Marr could move up 5 spots and he could fall 12 spots like within a year. Amon-Ra just won't. Like, it will not happen because of his insulation and the volume of targets that he gets consistently every single year.
Yeah, I agree. Ryan, I'm curious which one you prefer between the two if you've been listening.
I have been listening. My pick is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh.
Unfortunately, in all of the Dynasty startup drafts that I have done this offseason, Amon-Ra has been taken before Ja'Marr Chase, which is weird considering the ADP. Maybe I'm just in a league with a lot of sharp people. But
shark people, huh?
As you said, yeah, sharks for sure. As you said, Avery, I like the safety that Amon-Ra provides. I know that he's gonna like. I think I can't remember if Kyle looked into it or if I was just doing it on my own, but I'm pretty sure Amon-Ra, his like points per game might be lower, but his like consistency is similar. Like he's not going to have those boom weeks where like last season's Ja'Marr Chase got you a 50 pointer. And like within 2 weeks, he had a single digit output game that is regardless of him getting 50 points in one off week. That's irrelevant to me. I would prefer somebody who's going to get me 16 points every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree.
I agree as well. Next one is CMC and Gibbs going at 21.2 and 21.4.
Do you want to see if Ryan has the last question. Ryan, do you have the question?
I don't.
No. Okay.
Well, CMC.
There's a lot of trivia questions out there, but they're just like really, really easy trivia questions, and I don't want
to
do that.
All right, fine. Yeah. We'll go to the next one then. Yeah. Just let us know when you have it.
CMC or Gibbs? This is easy for me.
21.2 versus 21.4. And Chris McCaffrey has flown up ADP in August.
It's Gibbs for me.
I also think this one is easy it's Gibbs for what me. It's worth.
Yeah, I think you have to take Jahmyr Gibbs here. Yeah. I mean.
Yep.
Age, longevity alone.
I feel like most people are, and most people are going to say, duh. But seriously, of the Dynasty drafts that I got turned in for the ADP tool that I had probably rejected more than half of them this time. I haven't even done it yet because I don't even have enough drafts. Yep. And it's because Christian McCaffrey went in the first in multiple of them and went in the second in the rest of them.
Yep.
He has gotten a whole round jump as we've gotten closer to the season, which is hilarious.
Between now and the middle of October, man, it's a prime time to sell your veterans in Dynasty if you're a rebuild or a reload.
Which I think if you can get Gibbs for him, you're like,
heck yeah. Heck I'll do that. Yes. That's a free value win.
Yeah.
It's a free value win.
Yeah. So
Drake London or Chris Olave? 30.2.
Before we get into that, I actually have a trivia question for you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which NFL team had the most wins in the 2000s?
In the 2000s?
So like 2000 to 2010?
Correct. And I will not be giving you multiple choice because I can't narrow it down for you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. I got it.
I feel like if it's the team I think it is, I don't guess them. I'm never going to live it down. The 2000s.
What are you talking about?
Okay, I've got mine.
All right, you first.
I'm gonna go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm going with the Colts.
God, it's gonna be the Colts, and I'm never gonna live it down.
You're never gonna live it down,
dude.
You know what you know what it was for me? Upper quartile of the upper quartile. Thank you, Jim Irsay.
That is brutal, dude.
No, they were the winningest franchise in the 2000s.
I literally thought
which is why they were. It's why it still baffles me that they only won one Super Bowl, and baffles everyone, and why Peyton Manning is amazing, but was also considered the choke artist at a time.
That hurts, dude. Ow.
It's okay. The exclusive Colts trivia, I lost and you beat me, so we're even.
Well,
now.
I'm sure the top three are the Steelers, the Patriots, and the Colts.
Yes.
Sure. I knew it was one of those three.
I thought
about,
well, the Packers might be in there as well.
Maybe.
But they had one year where I think they missed the playoffs. It was a transition year between Favre and Rodgers where they might not be in the top three. But I thought about the Packers, but I was like, that's too much of a long shot.
I hate that I got that wrong. Because I legit thought, that's what I was saying before.
You thought the Colts.
Because I thought it was. Okay.
Did my, what are you talking about, throw you off?
No. The Patriots, the Steelers, and the Colts.
Colts.
I knew it was one of those three. Frick!
You can't go wrong with either of those franchises in that range. So.
I wonder how, because I remember, I mean, like, that was the Bill Cowher into the early Mike Tomlin stuff, and so it was like, they were so good.
Yep.
Whatever. All
but
right.
They just went on those postseason runs.
I know.
They were always kind of.
That's true.
You know.
A lot of times they came in as, 10 wins. Like.
Yeah. The Colts were almost the best literally every single year.
Okay.
Almost every single year.
All right. Yeah, I'll take my L on that one.
Even with that year, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
they went 6-10 in 2002.
All right, next one here is going to be Drake London versus Chris Olave. 30 versus 33. I mean, we've been preaching for people to pivot from Olave to London. So.
Yep.
London. Although I will say, I view Olave in a little bit of a higher light now that I've done a little bit more of an analytics deep dive on him.
He's safe.
He is safe.
He's a high floor.
I think so, too. I mean, I think if Chris Olave were to be put in Drake London's
situation. I also have a really hard time not viewing Chris Olave like having a DJ Moore value trajectory. Which is just like for the first 4 years of his career, he's a wide receiver too, and he's stuck there. But DJ Moore in that range maintained his value because everyone knew how good he was.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're probably not going to lose a ton of value if you invest in Olave, but I do think you're missing out on value upside with London.
Yeah, Ryan.
No, I'm right there with you. It's Drake London for me. I see Chris Olave along that same career trajectory as the DJ Moores, the. Terry McLaurin's, the Deontay Johnson's, where they're just, you know, they're never going to do you wrong, but they're not, he's not going to finish as a wide receiver one too frequently.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Hey, by the way, I was just thinking of our competition here. We are now tied again, 4-4.
Cool. Awesome.
4-4.
Sweet.
0-0, basically. Devon Achane or Kyren Williams? ADP 43 versus 44. That is the question of
the century.
The century, quite literally.
I'm willing to...
That is tough.
I'm probably going to lean... Ryan, you answer first because I'm interested to hear what you say.
I think this one is a long-term play, and I think it's Devon Achane for me.
Can't blame
because
you.
Of the... I mean, obviously his situation is a little bit clouded with Mostert and them drafting Jalen Wright, but Kyren Williams took an extra year to break out, and he was... While productive this year, a lot of his points came on touchdowns, and then they drafted Blake Corum behind him. I just think there's a little bit less opportunity risk with Devon Achane in the long term. That being said, the injury risk is way higher with Devon Achane, but I'm not going to bank on injuries to form my opinion. I'm just going to go based off of opportunity and skill set, and for me, that's Achane.
Yeah, I
think that's fair.
I'm just going to agree with you. I would take Achane. Like I wanted you to get that out of the way, so I didn't feel so scared to say it was Achane, but I prefer Achane.
It's Achane for me as well.
Okay, good.
Sean McVay scares me too much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When he's done with Kyren, Kyren's done.
He could dump Kyren on the side of the road anytime he wanted to.
He probably would. Probably just run over him with his car and
yes,
do a burnout.
I mean, if he gets injured again and goes down, like he may never see the field again.
No, that is actually true.
Like legit.
That is true.
So
yeah, I agree. All right, yeah. Next one.
Pacheco or Rashad White? ADP 64 versus 65.2. Pacheco has the edge. I'm going with Rashad
this
White.
This one to me, it. Yeah, this one is so easy, yep. In my opinion.
I will say I see the draw to having Isaiah Pacheco with him being on, you know, the Chiefs offense. But
like, that's the only draw.
Yeah. And you know he only has 2 years left because you know they're not paying him.
So the other thing is he's on an Andy Reid offense. And he's...
Do you want 2 years of him on an Andy Reid offense or Rashad White and his receiving upside with less per-touch efficiency?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I'm just saying I see the appeal with Pacheco. I would still take Rashad White, and it's pretty well documented that that's my opinion on that. So,
yeah, I'm going Rashad as well. Davante Adams, contention, making that push, or Keon Coleman? Full rebuild. What do you think?
Man, this sucks. I hate that I have to answer first, but I'll take Davante Adams here.
Okay. Ryan?
I'm also going to take Davante Adams.
I'll follow suit and go with Davante Adams. I think the risk with Keon Coleman, even though he's a young guy, is significant enough where I'll just take the perpetual value decline in Adams if I can go make a push for a championship. And in theory... Even if I was a reload or a rebuild and I owned him right now, I'd be more comfortable selling him midseason and get more of a haul than I would Keon Coleman midseason when he's not producing.
And here's the thing. Like, so, if it were somebody, a rookie that I felt really good about that I thought was really safe, I would say, you know, these are guys that are definitely going in opposite directions in value, so I'll just take, you know, the one that's... If it were Brian Thomas Jr., like, it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
But it's Keon, and Keon has a ton of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And Devontae can win you a championship, so that's tough. But
it is interesting how different their value situations are, even skill set situations are with a lot of these different players. And Deshaun Watson, Bo Nix, and Baker Mayfield kind of all together here. 87,
87.2, 88.2.
I'll go with the fresh legs and the guy who just balled out in preseason.
Yeah.
I'll take Bo Nix.
I refuse to answer any dynasty value related question about Deshaun Watson because I have no idea what to do with him.
Deshaun,
no clue.
Deshaun would be my second pick here,
close to Bo Nix.
Baker's by far my third option.
I agree with that. And it's crazy that they're going so close in ADP. I'm going to go one Bo Nix, two Deshaun, the same way.
Deshaun objectively has the highest upside.
Absolutely, he does. I mean, like, that's why I'm tempted to take Deshaun. But like, it's just
I want
it.
No part in Deshaun
on
my dynasty teams.
Bradley boy.
I'm gonna have to agree with Avery on it. As much as I love Baker Mayfield, He gets me waking up feeling dangerous just about every day.
Well, I know you're not picking Bo Nix. Hater.
I'm definitely not picking Bo Nix. I mean, I don't know what it is about Deshaun Watson. Bad guy. Want that out there. Bad guy. But I just don't think his performance in the last 2 years, there's something about it that I can't quit what we've seen from him three seasons ago or four seasons ago now, whatever it is.
A long time ago.
It is a long time ago, but at the same time, I find it so hard to believe that without him like hitting an age cliff or having some, you know, devastating injury, that he's just fallen off this hard. And I, for some reason, I just have this like this weird faith that it's going to snap back around. And we know the statistics for rookie quarterbacks. If I'm drafting a startup, I'm going to try to avoid them as much as I can. Even though I know that they can be huge value risers, they can also be huge value fallers, and I don't want to end up with a Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a QJ.
Yeah. All right. Well, we know where Ryan's ethics lie, but here we go. Stephon Diggs versus Cooper Kupp. These are
identical.
Two pretty, yeah, they're identical ADP. Two very similar in the same stage of their career type guys. And for me,
give me Diggs. I might be a hot take, but I'll go Diggs.
I'm taking Diggs as well.
Dang it. Stop thinking the same.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's not like we have the same channel.
I was gonna say, we freaking live in a bubble. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ryan, disagree with us.
I am going to disagree with you. It is Cooper Kupp for me.
Cool.
I know that last season he was hampered by the by the hamstring injury.
Hamstringed by the hampered.
He was hampers.
Yeah, he was hamstringed by the hamstring. But I don't necessarily think that his game is predicated on him being an insane athlete.
Predicated.
We saw that, you know, across his whole career, he is a great wide receiver by the means of being able to leverage his routes well and have a quarterback who trusts that he's going to be in the right spot at the right time. And I think Cooper Kupp is going to continue to do that. And I understand that Puka Nacua is in his offense and will be a huge draw, but I do think there's going to be more opportunity for Kupp in that offense than there will be for Diggs competing with likely three plus wide receivers.
Yeah. Okay.
Cooper,
well,
could be possible.
Good. Yeah. And then last year, Diontae Johnson or Christian Watson. You know,
give me the wide receiver one in his offense. I'll take Diontae.
This one baffles me.
I am the same way.
This is
here.
An actual ADP thing.
It's not a. What's your answer?
It's Diontae Johnson.
Yeah, it's Diontae.
Maybe I'm too market value focused.
These are in a vacuum. Remember, in a vacuum.
Yeah, in a vacuum, it's Diontae.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily see a world where Diontae Johnson, the wide receiver one on his team, gets like insanely outscored by Christian Watson. And if Christian Watson outscores Diontae Johnson, I think it's going to have to be him returning to that breakout rookie season that he had, where he got like 50% of his points off of touchdowns, which is insanely unsustainable.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, that makes
sense.
That
was the only time he ever really consistently produced.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Ever.
Yeah. Again, in a vacuum, like, I mean, the other thing, the age does make a difference to me in Dynasty here because, you know, Diontae Johnson is...
He's not even old.
I mean, define...
He's not young. He's not a spry youth, but he's...
He's 28?
He's not...
He's 27 or 28.
Yeah, he's
28.
Yeah. 28.
He's
28.
So... Toledo.
I think... You know, I mean, I have no question about the production. I think Diontae Johnson is going to be more productive than him. It's just
it's the same reason you took Devontae over Keon Coleman, just at a way less,
lesser level. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I feel like we're also kind of at an inflection point with Christian Watson, where if he doesn't produce this year and Jaden Reed continues to do well, or Dontavian Wicks takes, you know, the uptick people are thinking, or Romeo Doubs continues to be consistent, Christian Watson is going to fall by the wayside because he's quickly gone from one in that offense to two and potentially to four, depending on how the cards
legit
fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yep. I see that being a realistic outcome.
It's not for Deontay.
Whereas I don't see Deontay being anything worse than the wide receiver two in his offense. Yep.
Yeah.
I totally
and
agree.
I think wide receiver two would be doomsday scenario.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Cool. What's wrong? Yeah, I'll tell you in a second. So that's it, actually. So those were good scenarios. And a lot of those guys are closer in ADP than I thought they were. I am surprised McCaffrey and Gibbs came in as close as they were. I thought Kyren Williams was a little bit below Achane, but I mean, again, these are all in a vacuum. Always play the market, always play value with Dynasty, but this is in a vacuum. This is who we would prefer. And so if you're wanting to get who we would prefer here, then definitely keep market values in mind and make sure you're down tiering, up tiering respectively. Yep. But all right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week we'll be back on here and we'll be talking week two preseason reactions. And you also get the current tiebreaker for the trivia, so make sure you join us for that. Head over to flockfantasy.com/domain. Use code domain when you sign up for all of our exclusives and things like that. You get team reviews, you get our draft guide, you get dynasty advice, you get whatever you want, need over there to win your fantasy and dynasty leagues. And make sure you check us out on YouTube, Domain Fantasy Football and Dynasty Domain. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week.